in the recorder so you can help me with the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club.
So that's why you paused my YouTube.
I did. I paused your YouTube so that you could be heard on the phone.
Woo!
So you are here in the kitchen making cookies. What kind of cookies are you making? Chocolate chip cookies for Christmas? What's the most exciting thing about Christmas right now?
No humans.
Well, in other words, today is...
my last day of school.
Excellent! BB's on vacation!
Woo!
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add to the intro?
Oh, did I ask BB. For a 10-minute timer?
No.
Alexa, set a 10-minute timer.
And in 10 minutes, we'll... have chocolate chip cookies.
Another
All right, well.
Cookies, a drop cookie that features chocolate chips or chocolate morsels as its distinguishing ingredient.
Thank you.
Hope you've enjoyed your Thursday.
Thank you! She's so sweet.
She's way too sweet.
She's way too polite.
She's sweet like a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, we love you.
I don't know if we'll go that far. It's just a speaker.
I will.
This is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions and the San Carlos Computer Club, introducing the meeting from December 8th, 2020. And this is BB.
Hi.
Making chocolate chip cookies. And she's here, as well as I, to say, tech on.
Tech on!
And we'll see you next week.
Two things. The first thing is he bought weed with his credit card.
Oh my gosh. And I just hit the streaming button, Bill, so I just outed your son. I'm sorry. I should have given you a warning.
I don't really care. Anyway, the second thing he bought was a pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses. And by the time he got back to the resort, the gold polish was wearing off.
Right? That's funny.
His ears were turning green.
When I first got down here, I thought the counterfeit Ray-Bans were so cool that I would buy them in groves and send them to my cousins in the United States. Genuine fake Ray-Bans. Can't get them where you are.
You got to pay full price where you are.
Yeah, that's right.
At one time when I was in university, I was in a parking lot behind a store, and a guy actually come up to me and said, "Want to buy a watch?" And he had the watches on his arm.
Oh, right.
I'd never had that experience. And they were like $2. So I bought one for my friend as a Christmas present. And he said it ran for about 15 minutes. I don't know what kind of mechanism they had in there, but I don't think it was a watch mechanism.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a Timex with a Rolex face on it.
Well, not for $2.
Yeah.
Well, when we went to change the hour because of daylight savings time, I gave Bill my wristwatch and he pulled out the thing, which is very hard to do, and changed it, but it didn't go anymore. And we figured, the batteries finally died in it. So we go to the store, and for $7.99, I buy a new battery, bring the battery home, put it in, and it still doesn't work. So obviously it wasn't the battery. So go back to the store, and for $9.99, I bought a new watch.
Oh, excellent.
Done that in the first place, saved the $8.
Anyway, Scott.
Yes,
I believe that our robot vacuum cleaner, whose name is Susie, she's going to make a guest appearance, and she'll do a little dance for us.
That would be awesome. Will she sing as well?
I'll put a appropriate dance music on when she comes.
I'm just curious, did you see that post? I reposted it, I think, on Facebook, that was about the Mars Curiosity rover.
Singing happy birthday?
Singing happy birthday. I thought that was pretty cool.
It reminds me of when they had the old 5 1/4 disk drives. When they had the 5 1/4 disk drives, somebody set up about 8 of them. And was having the stepper motors play songs on it. They were sending signals to it, and they would, I don't know what song it was, but it was pretty cool. Some people have way too much time on their hands.
Right.
Like me, making my vacuum cleaner dance.
Well, I can't wait for it. I should put it in the rundown for today's meeting. I'll just stick it right here.
There you go. Susie's dancing.
I have a bunch of recommendations. One, a non-recommendation. And things to watch. And I sent a link. I'm not sure if you can see it.
Oh, it's here on, in the chat. You know, I saw that fly by. I wasn't certain what we were doing. Okay. Let me grab it.
So I don't know if you're going to do your intro first, but I'll tell you what that is.
Sure. Let me see what we got here. Jigsaw Planet.
So that opens up in the size that Bill made it, but it is a, you can down the bottom with the little landscape picture. If you click on it, you can see what the puzzle actually looks like. Down to the left at the bottom.
Left into the right here?
Yeah. There's the cool puzzle that you are making. So it's a 2020 puzzle, but it's got the box as well as the jigsaw puzzle because he just, you know, made it off of an app. If you go over to the other extreme right at the bottom, it makes it for a larger screen so that you can play it. I play it on my tablet and stuff like that. Up at the top where it says play as, you have to scroll up.
Play as.
You can, oh, wow. You change the size. If you go down to custom, you can change the shape of your pieces. You can make them so that they have to be arranged differently. But that's a lot. Those are very tiny, right? And
yeah.
On an iPad. Mine for about 56. But you can custom set the shape and size as you like and everything. So jigsaw puzzles for the day of COVID or in technology.
Well,
this is awesome.
I've been known to take a picture of my grandchildren and make them into a puzzle and send them off to their mother.
Oh, that's really neat.
That's a big, yeah. Like if you sign in, if you create a little account, it doesn't mean anything.
I see and, Bill's account right here. You don't have any public puzzles.
No, not really.
But you go to create and you just import a picture and you just say, I want this many pieces, this shape, and it creates the puzzle for you. That's how I did this one.
Hi, Chester. Good morning. We were just looking at Bill's.
Hey, Chester. Long time no see.
Well, I've been kind of busy moving.
You still moving?
Yeah, I moved from Oregon to Arizona.
Yeah, I think the last time we talked to you, you were moving your big screen TV in or something and dropped it on your foot.
No.
Didn't you have a cast or something?
No, not me. No.
We thought you'd injured yourself.
Well, I did. I injure myself all the time by falling, but I'm working on that.
Bill, I'm going to put a link to your puzzle in today's meeting, and sure, I like it. Wait, is it a free account to make puzzles?
Absolutely.
And you can search on there, like I search for sunsets, beaches, and things like that, and it brings up thousands of them. You can limit how many pieces you want. It's the jigsaw puzzle of the ages because it's all technology.
If you want to make it really hard, you can turn on rotate, and it's just like a regular puzzle. Then the pieces are all random.
Oh, wow!
You have to rotate it and it can fit.
I posted a link to a YouTube video of a guy that's imitating W playing the ukulele and singing "Hallelujah" about Trump.
Did you just put that in the group?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
It's very funny.
My fellow Americans, people have been asking me how I feel about the election.
Where'd it go?
How do you like Donald Trump?
Are you playing that, Paul, or am I?
I was.
Oh,
sorry, it started.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was just going to open it up for all of us, and I thought I clicked it.
My fellow Americans.
I don't want to watch it anymore. Thank you.
How I feel about the election.
I've stopped watching all of them.
How do you paint a man like?
Well, this is funny. This is humorous. It's not evil. Too much.
This is 2016. Somebody be up.
There is a man.
I don't get any sound.
His name is Trump.
No.
He kicked my baby brother's
mother. Oh, there is no sound. Hold on a second. I can do that.
By the way, just for interest, the new voice of Bugs Bunny is a Chatham, Ontario boy.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. He's taking Mel Blanc's place.
Okay, you should be hearing yourself double now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
And you should be listening to yourself. Okay, here we go.
We love to hate before we knew ya.
Oh.
But you hung in tough. You took the cake. Your strategery to make us great. Misunderestimization never threw ya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It just occurs to me, I probably can't let this run too long. I'll get flagged for rebroadcasting somebody else's YouTube.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they'll get me for impersonation.
So it's from 2016, and he ends it by saying that everybody should be calm and hope that everything works out fine.
And that was at the beginning. Well, hey, welcome. It is time to start. I've actually already hit the streaming button. I keep looking over my shoulder because it's telling me I don't have a lot of bandwidth for some reason. But you guys are coming in just fine. Maggie's here with us. Chester just left the meeting. And I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and you guys are the San Carlos Computer Club, and we meet every Tuesday at 10 a.m. to discuss tech topics and check in with ourselves during this COVID period. I have, in usual fashion, showed up with some of my own topics, but since there is no agenda and very little organization to this group, we're always welcome other people's topics. And we have started out with my Christmas shopping, George Bush's singing. What else did we do? The puzzle from Bill and Cheryl. That puzzle looks really cool. I might just start using that as a promotional tool for our meeting. I'll take a picture of all you guys and send it out as a puzzle. At the very least, okay. I may. What's that?
Your daughter's quinceañera. I don't think I say that word right, but you know, you could do her a 15th birthday party puzzle.
Oh yeah, that would be cool too, and send that out to relatives that couldn't be there.
And a thank you note or something, yes.
Yeah, that'd be very cool. You know what I'm looking for right now is that option to get as many people on the screen. Apparently, it won't stay there.
Oh yeah, well mine stayed. Well, it stayed with me in the position.
Yeah, during the meeting, during the entire meeting, it stayed where I sat it. But what I found last week was that it had reverted back to a default setting for the next meeting, which seems odd because we use the same meeting code each week. So you would think that it would be more self-aware, but I guess it's not.
I can't remember where we found that. Oh, change layout?
Yeah, change layout at the bottom of the layout. And you can get...
the number.
Yep. So I just set it up to 49. So, you know, almost everybody can get in on the screen. I actually had an impromptu visit with Judy. She was the first one to jump in. She just wanted to see if we were already rolling. And she was in the immigration office with my wife getting immigration papers done for a friend of hers. So she said she might try and jump in again, but she's on her cell phone out in Guaymas.
So she's running around with your wife this week.
That's right. My wife is a hustler. I think that's a real testimony to the faith people place in my wife to help them with immigration issues. Go ahead, Cheryl. I'm sorry.
There was a What's Up San Carlos forum the other day, and it was a couple that were on their way to San Carlos. And they got late going. Anyways, they missed kilometer 21 completely, didn't know where they were. They wanted help on the GPS. And then she said, are we going to be in trouble because we didn't stop at 21? I said, oh, dear, you are opening yourself up to so much. I said, just go to San Carlos, get a hold of Yuya. She will help you through it. Do not take any advice from anyone else. Do not stop. Just go.
Oh, that's such a nice testimony. Thank you, Cheryl. She
well,
really
one of a million Americans that do not get the FMM.
See, I was not going to suggest that.
Yeah, I think the first advice I would give is don't tell anyone else this except for you. Yeah. Good morning, Mom. We're just getting started. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Looks like my internet connection has sorted itself out. I'm really disappointed. Okay, oh, go ahead, Mom. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying I'm on. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Excellent. Sandy.
We're happy to have you.
Sandy, I'm glad to see you. I have a couple of recommendations for you for watching and want to tell you one that don't bother. So I'm glad to see you.
Oh, Cheryl, please introduce our recommendations section. I want to hear your recommendations.
Okay. One thing was yesterday we signed up for lots of echo. Anyways, we signed up for Disney Plus and we showed it with our grandson because he was very jealous that we were watching Mandalorian and he was not. So we all get to do that now. We have Disney Plus. So I'm looking for things that you guys want to tell me what to watch on Disney Plus. That's what I'm looking for. Meanwhile, I watched Hillbilly Elegy the other night. It's a movie that was short and it was quite nice.
It's done by somebody credible. I can't remember who it is though. I'm trying to look it up now. Go ahead, Cheryl. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ron Howard.
Boy, am I getting
Ron Howard directed it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't recognize any of the stars or anything in it.
Scott, we're getting a bunch of echo coming back.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I turned that thing on so we could watch the video, and I didn't turn it off. I'm a horrible host. I'm really, really bad, Scott.
Did I miss the video?
You did miss the video. But I turned it off early anyway. I'll put a link to it on today's meeting. I turned it off early because it occurred to me that I might get thrown off YouTube if I'm broadcasting somebody else's YouTube. They are really finicky. Mm-hmm. I've got a copyright violation. Every time I go into my dashboard, it flags, it goes, "Hey, copyright violation. You're an abuser." And I look at it and it's the same thing from 6 months ago. They just keep reminding me, "Don't screw up today."
Yeah. Well, what is the name of the movie?
Hillbilly Elegy.
And it is a movie. It's not a series.
It's a movie. I thought it was a series when I started it, but then it was just the one-off. And I recommend it. It's interesting tale. A little bit of, hillbilly.
Ron Howard really brings some legitimacy to any project that he's doing. Offhand, I can't remember anything to be proud of except for The Grinch, but there are a lot of movies he's done. The Grinch that Stole Christmas is one of them, though.
The other is a series.
No.
There's a series called The Good Cop, or it could be Good Cops. I'm not sure, but no, it's one, The Good Cop. And it's a father-son crazy characters. It's a fun little short series.
And this is another that you're recommending. This isn't the one you're saying stay away from.
Yep, I still recommend it. Third recommendation is Milton's Secret. Now, it might be a Canadian thing because it's been on Facebook all week about watch this for free and all this, but I didn't watch it on their link. I watched it on Stremio.
Okay.
But Milton's Secret is, the actor
you
just
want
me
to,
me.
You want me to read the synopsis that just came up? Is it?
Yes.
A 2016 Canadian family drama film directed by Barnett Bain, based on the novel of the same name. Who's starring in it? Donald Sutherland's in it.
That's the one. Yeah, Donald Sutherland is the grandpa, and Milton is the grandson. And there's a little bit about bullying, and grandpa is... widowed, but he's got a new love in his life, which is causing some grief for the daughter. So it's a nice family movie, and it's kind of neat, the relationship between the grandfather and the grandson. I recommend that one too. One we're watching as a family, and we're hoping the kids are going to watch the whole thing, but Bill found it, and it's called Dash and Lily. Dash and Lily are older teenagers that have basically been left alone for Christmas in New York, I guess it is. Anyways, they have a secret notebook that they are communicating. They don't know each other, but they have. It's about Dash and Lily and their relationship. And anybody that's a reader or a writer would find it interesting. And it's just kind of fun and quirky, and it's Christmas. It's a Christmas series.
Oh, okay. It's a series, or it is a series. Cool.
Yeah, it's a series. I think it's an hour long, Bill.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Hey, The Good Cop, is that a series?
Yep.
Yes. I'm writing these down.
I'm writing them down too. I'll put them on today's meeting if you go to sccclub.org in, boy, my average is within the next 7 days.
Yeah, there you go.
I have not been doing keeping up with our blog posts quickly. There's just been a lot of stuff going on. We've just finished our other daughter's birthday, so we get to breathe for a moment, but we are going into Christmas, and Christmas shopping hasn't finished happening. And then we have New Year's, and I've probably forgotten to mention, but on the 2nd of January is my wedding anniversary. So this is just a whole corner we're going around of celebrations that happen. So I apologize for my own personal stuff, but within the next week, it will be up on the website, all your recommendations and links to information about things we talk about. If I've had a chance to make a note of it, or if you've sent it to me, or if it's one of my topics to begin with.
Can I make one quick offer on series that we've just finished that we really enjoyed? We're not into futuristic kind of stories usually, Cyber's fine. This one is like futuristic in about 3 days kind of thing. It's called Better Than Us. It's on Netflix. It's from Russia.
It's from Russia.
From Russia. Surprisingly good. Pat gave me the name of it, Scott. It's about robots that have become just part of the regular day life. As someone has created a robot now that will kill. And that killer robot is such a surprise to see. She is so lovely. Anyway, they have it dubbed in English, which is a terrible dubbing. I hate watching dubbed films. But after the third episode, you really are kind of getting into it, and you forget about that part. It also has English subtitles. So something to look at that's a bit different, the family composition, what happens with them and all. I found it quite good. Your dad, too, which usually those kinds of movies aren't too impressive to him, but
that's a real strong recommendation from YouTube, because I don't think of you guys as getting into sci-fi. Especially Russian sci-fi.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the robots that are really the sci-fi part. You'll notice the cars and stuff. They do try to make the city look more futuristic. But, yeah, no, it was a very, to me, it was very good showing the complications of what life will be and also giving some ideas on how you might use a bot in the future.
Well, that's, I'm glad you recommended that. I've actually flipped through that. It's flipped past in the programs that I use. I've seen it before and I have paid no attention to it. The title actually, what would be the word? Just turned me off. Better Than Us. For some reason, I was thinking it was some like drama, some family thing, or I didn't give it any attention. Didn't even read the description.
That's This Is Us.
You're right. You're right. It is This Is Us that I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. And This Is Us. Excellent, excellent show.
I think I'm more interested in Russian robots.
All right. Well, that's all I have today.
Okay, Scott.
Yes.
I think this is a good segue into Susie the robot showing off her dance moves.
Okay, as long as you know, Cheryl has not warned us of the series we should not watch.
Well, she can come back in a second.
All right, let's see Susie do her dance moves.
Hang on. Well, it'll take a little bit. I'll tell you when she's coming down the pipe here.
Yeah,
it usually takes her a while to wake up.
You need a countdown?
No.
Drum roll? I can look for a drum roll. No.
For some reason, there's lots of times there's a delay from the time I ask for her to show up and then she does show up. So I'll let you know in a minute.
Okay.
It takes her about a minute to get started in the bedroom and to get where she's coming. But the movie that, it's a movie, Bill found that he thought I would like was Diane Keaton and other people in Love, Weddings, and Other Disasters. And it is just so bizarre that I don't think I'm going to finish it. I got started in it, and I thought this is so slapstick and silly. For instance, Diane Keaton goes on a blind date, but the thing is, she's blind. But anyways, it's.
You're obviously remembering the highlights.
No, and then there's a talk show host that's doing this matchmaking thing for $1 million, and he matches a very tall woman with a short person, like a little person. And it's so corny and rude and dumb. I'm not even going to go back to it. I got 20 minutes into it, and this is enough. So,
you know, what you're reminding me of is I listen to a podcast where they go through superhero movies from the very beginning, and now we're into like 2005 movies. And they brought up a movie that I thought I liked when I saw it called My Super Ex-Girlfriend. I don't know if you've heard of it, but the whole premise of it, I mean, it's a play on My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. The title begins. And I don't remember thinking that poorly of that kind of concept back then. But now it was interesting to listen to these guys review this movie, living in this world that we're living in now. And they were just offended by a lot of it. It was, I mean, it really was her. The premise is that she's a superhero. She's the crazy ex-girlfriend, but she's also a superhero. So you got to be careful dating a superhero if they're going to go crazy, because they'll do shit like throw a shark through your window. And so the whole movie's like trying to be this superhero movie and a rom-com movie at the same time. And it kind of fails at both. But they were so offended by it that it makes me want to go back and watch it, because I don't remember not liking it that much. It's got, who is it, Luke Wilson in it. It plays a main guy in it. I guess Rainn Wilson is in it as well. And I didn't remember him being in the movie. He's the guy that, from The Office, he's done a couple other movies since then. But he's really funny guy in The Office, and I don't even remember him being in this movie. Also has Uma Thurman playing the superhero girlfriend. Paul, what are you doing there? We're all listening to you do whatever you're doing under the desk there.
Grinding my finger there.
Okay, good.
Susie's ready to do her thing.
All right. I now present Susie, the dancing robot.
Hang on.
She's a little shy.
Well, she takes her while. Alexa, please stay in the line. Can you see her?
Yeah, she's a little off center, but we can see her.
Alexa, louder. Alexa, louder.
So, Bill, did you teach her to do this?
Yeah. Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop. She's going back now. She's done.
She's done.
But what you can do, like, Alexa will generate a map of the house. And you can designate small pieces of the house. Like, you want her just to clean the kitchen. You say, there's a kitchen room. Do it. And go do it. So I just designated a little spot in the middle of that carpet as dance, and when I say go to do it, she comes down the hall over here, does her little thing, and goes back and back to her station to charge up. That's it.
That's really cool.
Just went past my door.
It just went past your door on its way home.
Yep. The coolest thing, if you ask me, is when you ask her to come down do the kitchen or whatever. In a few minutes, you just see her coming trundling down the hallway, headed right for the kitchen, and she goes and does her little thing. And then she's done. She goes back and goes back down the hall just all by herself. It's just cool.
That's awesome.
But unfortunately, we've exposed our whole house. My dining room table, my TV table is sitting there with my nail file stuff. And yes, and Bill, you need to have our rate the background. We're going to fail.
Rate the background. Well, I'm impressed that you feel comfortable. Like, I'm looking at it. You've got some stuff on the floor over there in the corner. That, well, now Bill's hidden it from us. We can't see what they've got stacked.
Here.
And my robot would be knocking that stuff over or getting caught up in it.
Well, she does very well. She'll get in underneath a lamp or a table or whatever, and she bumps around. She's very determined, and she will come out from underneath it. And if she something blocks her way to cleaning something, she'll come right around it. She works her way around it and cleans where she wants to clean. So it's fun just to watch her figure out how this works. You know, to see the logic systems working.
Well, we use them in the. Oh, I'm sorry, Cheryl. Go ahead.
We have an old one, the iRobot, the basic one that you can't program or anything. And
it's the fuzzy logic one.
Yeah.
Our grandson just loves that thing. Can I put Roomba on when he comes to visit? You know, and he likes to bump it up against things and try to control it by putting his foot in the way, you know, and he dances plays with it. And we always laugh at Quinn about being so enamored with what he calls Papa's girlfriend. And I said, we cannot tease our grandson anymore because we've been watching this thing for how many days now? Bill's been programming it to do different things. I've been moving things around. Yes, wires have to be tucked in. We have the modem on the floor because of things that all of our problems with that. And that draped, what do you call them? Afghans.
Yeah.
The Afghans have to be hooked up so that they don't get sucked in. I think we told you the very first time we put her loose, she sucked up a whole bunch of beads. into her brushes. So
that's definitely what we've found. We use them at the bed and breakfast as well, and we use the one you're talking about, the iRobot, that basic model. We have it here, and we have it at the bed and breakfast. And you have to live this life where everything exists at like 6 inches above the ground. So you got to make sure blankets are up and cables are tucked back and furniture sits a little higher. I actually redesigned a shelving system specifically so it could fit underneath it. And it was the first time under the shelves ever got vacuumed. Right? Before, yeah. When it was 3 inches, there was also 3 inches of dust. And now at 6 inches, it's dust free.
She's pretty good. Like, I tried it out in our bedroom. I just threw a towel on the floor, right in the middle of the floor. And she just worked her way right around it. It was just like it was a solid object. It's got to be something that's really low, like the beads or wires that she will drive up on. And the wires, I don't know if she'd even get stung with them. It's something that's loose enough that has to wrap in her system. She got hung up yesterday in a carpet we have that had fringes, and if one of the fringes got sucked in, like wrapped around, and that stopped her. But there's only two times she's ever been stopped.
She's unstoppable, the shark ninja.
Unstoppable. Well, she's my girl.
My robot gets caught under our futon in the living room, and we've had this robot for years now. I've done maintenance on it, changed the batteries, changed the brushes, continually keeping it running. And for the whole time I've had it, gets caught on the futon. And what I've done in the past is I have folded up cardboard feet and set the futon up, just because she only needs like a half an inch, maybe an inch, and she would not. And she gets stuck. She gets so stuck, I have to lift up the futon and pull her out. And so I make these cardboard feet, and we go through a season like a summer, and I forget, and the feet settle in the heat and the humidity. And so she starts getting stuck again, and I let it go on and on and on until finally I build more feet for it. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And then just the other day, just a couple of weeks ago, I figured it out. Fold the futon down into a bed. I fold it down into a bed, which is a lot easier than going to the futon every time she gets stuck, is just preemptively fold the futon down as a bed. Never get stuck. I think it was the first time she made it all the way back to her charging station by herself. I'm like, where's the robot? And it's right where it's supposed to be, charging its battery.
Yeah, ours used to get, we have a futon bed in the bedroom, and it's got a wood base on it, and there's a little bit of a decoration kind of thing. And on the top of the old Roomba, there's one little raised button.
Yep.
And
that's the one I've got.
Yeah, and that's the button would get stuck every about third time under the bed, and she'd just sit there and she'd go up against it, she'd go up against it, and she just would not turn or do anything. She'd just get sit there and keep bashing it till she ran out of power or she sat there, you know.
Well, I've got one more question about your robot. Are you controlling it with your Alexa?
You can. It's not clean. Like, I haven't figured out exactly how to do it. Like, right. I can tell her to go to start that, clean the house, and she will go do that, or clean the kitchen. Tell her, Alexa, go. Did I start her? No, I didn't. Tell the shark to go clean the kitchen. And if you phrase it right, it works.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't quite figured out the phraseology exactly yet.
Okay, so for next week, here's your project, Bill, is you have to say, Alexa, staying alive. And this time you gotta have the camera centered on the rug so we can watch your dance.
Okay. All right.
Oh, and the music has to start by itself too. This is
it'd have to be a routine then.
That's right.
I'm all about routines.
As long as they're consistent.
I got routines for my light bulbs all over the place. Turn on the basement lights so Cheryl can take her laundry down there. turn on the dining room light, you know. But it gets to be a job keeping track of what all the lights are called.
We found a sale at our Canadian Tire, which is sort of like a Walmart, only it's Canadian Tire. Anyways, Canadian Tire had a sale for...
Wait a second. There's a store like a Walmart in Canada called Canadian Tires?
Canadian Tire has been around for, I don't know how many years, 50, 60 years.
Do they sell tires?
They do.
Sure they do. But they started out as a tire shop. And the guy is, the owner expanded it into, it's very equivalent to Walmart. It's the same. They don't sell groceries in Canadian Tire yet. But and they don't have a drugstore. But they'd be more, maybe Target? I don't know.
Target.
Ace Hardware? Like Ace Hardware? No.
They're different than Ace Hardware. Well, maybe. But they're huge. They're like a Walmart.
That's
and they have a gardening center every year. And anyways, Canadian Tire, you go to Canadian Tire for everything. And, oh, yes, they had a sale on of the smart bulbs. So you got four smart bulbs for $20. So $5 each is pretty good for smart bulbs. But these were only the warm white.
Right.
You can't
change the colors. And who wants warm white?
Well, we put two in the basement, and I think I might have to get them changed because it's just made it very dull down there. Yeah,
it's like an office cubicle, I bet. Fluorescent color light.
It's warm.
No, it's
yellow.
Well, on the warm side, it's
yellowy. Oh, it's yellowy. Yeah. Oh, I look for the yellow color.
But they're supposed to be nice on your eyes and stuff like that. But I think that if you want to see something, you know, like I wouldn't want it in my kitchen because I like to, you know, brighter kind of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The best light bulbs I put in were sensitive light bulbs in the garage and in the basement because those are rooms that we just pass through or do the wash in the garage. And as long as you're moving, they stay lit. And
sure.
Then when you leave, I go out, and it was a real boon because my kids would never turn a light out.
Right. I should put a motion sensor light in my kid's bedroom for as often as I have to turn off that light.
Yeah,
and now it's hard to make the argument when everything's LED. It's like, you're wasting electricity. It's like, come on, really? Not a lot. Just this little trickle.
But I told you about those plugs that are monitoring ones. I use them all the time. I move them around just to see how much power is being used.
You did. In fact, I'm shopping for a deal on them now. I think that's pretty awesome that you can plug in your appliances with these plugs. What were they called? I wrote them down somewhere. Is it CE Smart?
CE Smart.
CE Smart.
I just got it.
And you can look at the app and see how much electricity is being used by whatever you've got it plugged into.
Yeah. Well, I've got Cheryl's laptop plugged in. I want to see how much juice it would use. And for the month of December so far, it's used 2 watts of power.
Oh, God, I need these. I need these. Every time my wife shows me the electric bill, she's like, it's all your little lights. It's all your computers going. And I need that. I need that right now.
It uses a third of a watt a day.
A third of a watt a day. I'll plug the hairdryer into it and show her in real time as the needle goes.
Well, I'm not sure. Is your dryer a 120 or a 220?
I believe it's a 120.
A 120 dryer?
I think.
No wonder you're spinning. Oh, hair dryer.
Yeah, I know you're talking about clothes dryer, yeah. And I was talking about a hair dryer, but
Well, it'll spin it. Don't worry. It'll work on that.
I do think that our dryer is 120, though. I think we bought it from Walmart. It's a stack up.
Oh, it could be then.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah, I'm thinking it is.
You want to dry it outside. You want to hang it on a line.
Yeah. Right. I want you to go hang wet clothes outside right now, Bill.
I've done it. I've helped my mom bring in the blue jeans when they'd stand up by themselves. We had a wringer washer and a line outside for the dryer.
I was just thinking they'd stand up by themselves right now because it would be a plank of ice.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what they did. They were frozen solid. Everything went out. It didn't matter how cold it was.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. She had a some kind of a rack that she could put over one of the heaters, the heat vents, and dry some stuff. But the sheets and the thing, I always could never figure out how the hell is it drying? They're frozen solid, but
right.
It did.
Yeah.
They were still wet coming in. They were damp, but they were a lot drier than they went over.
Hey,
I think the first thing I have to tell you about the cold weather is, like, for the last about 4 years, we've been coming home every 3 months just to restart our medical and to check in with doctors. Anyways, we come home in January, and usually the week we come home is the minus 40 week. It just seems to be the way it goes. And so 3 months after we leave, we come home and we've turned the temperature in the house down, and it's been at about 6 degrees Celsius the whole time we've gone. And we didn't have the thing where we could turn it up before we came into the house. And we'd get into the house, you'd turn the furnace up. It would be kind of cozy. You know, you'd wear your coat for the first little while, but then you'd go to bed. And a futon mattress that has
with a memory foam.
The memory foam, a memory foam mattress that has been at 6 degrees takes hours to warm up. It is not a memory foam that you sink into. It is solid like a brick. It is so hard. And we always forget that this is what's going to happen. It takes you till morning with two people with body heat to warm that damn thing up.
That's really funny. So it doesn't remember the shape, apparently. It doesn't remember you want it to be warm.
No.
But what's really funny is when you lie down on it, your body heat warms up the foam that's underneath it. So you get a divot that's a permanent divot until the whole thing warms up. Like, your body shape is there, but it's still cold. You don't dare get out of your divot.
Out of your divot.
Yeah.
For cold nights, we have a pillowcase with 2 pounds of beans in it, and you put it in the microwave. Put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and then put it in the foot of your bed. And it's very nice.
That's great. And in case you get hungry, you want burritos.
No, it ruins the beans. It ruins the beans to be heated like that. You can't boil them anymore.
Gotcha.
We have wheat bags.
Wheat bags to heat up.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. What do we got here?
Cheryl hasn't finished her recommendations yet.
No?
I haven't?
That was quite a list.
Oh, I guess Big Sky. It's a modern series that's on TV every Tuesday night, I guess. Big Sky Montana. And I thought it'd be a nice country western kind of thing. And oh my goodness, it's a thriller. It's murder. It's yucky. Anyways, it's
a police procedural. Is this the right one?
Big Sky.
Big Sky. I think I just found it. Brand new.
Yeah.
An American procedural drama TV series created by David Kelly, based on the 2013 novel The Highway by C.J. Box. It's on ABC. Where are you watching it?
On ABC, on my cable TV.
Ah, okay. You guys get ABC?
CTV.
Oh, CTV.
Yeah, well, no, ABC shows run on CTV in Canada. But, you know, watch Grey's Anatomy and Station 19. Okay. All of those come on CTV. Yeah.
I'm going to add that to my list as well. Does anybody else have any recommendations they'd like to add to my list for today's meeting? I've already got way too much content to watch.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that? I mean, this is big news last week. I was excited to put this on the list of topics to bring up with you. But then later throughout the week, it's been everywhere. This deal that Warner Brothers has done with HBO Max, they're going to be releasing every new movie for the year 2021 simultaneously in the movie theater as well as on the streaming service, HBO Max. So it's kind of, it's incentive to get you into HBO Max, but it's also how Warner Brothers is planning to survive the pandemic for 2021 is through this streaming deal they've set. So apparently what's going to happen is new movies are going to come out both in the movie theater and in the streaming service. They'll stay on the streaming service for a month, and then they'll stay in the movie theater if that's, that's a tough one. Because I heard him say that, and I'm like, how often is a movie good enough to still be in a movie theater after a month? But apparently they still exercise that right to keep it in a movie theater. And who knows, with the way things have been, maybe there'll be a limited supply of movies, and sitting in a movie theater afterwards will be a thing. It won't be for me. I'm not interested in sitting in a movie theater. So I'm kind of happy to see new movies will be arriving for streaming at the same time. And apparently we're going to see this happen. I think I read that this was going to happen for the latest Wonder Woman movie that's coming out at Christmas. Matrix 4, The Suicide Squad, the Tom and Jerry movie. They've got all these movies that are ready to be released in 2021. And now they're going to be released so you don't have to go to the movie theater to watch them.
So is HBO Max, you have to pay a subscription to that or something, or is it a per movie?
Yeah, you would be an HBO Max subscriber, but I believe that you can get HBO Max without having a cable subscription now. It's from AT&T. AT&T is Warner Media, and I think that the HBO Max is their first direct competition with something like a Netflix. Whereas all their other offerings, like HBO Go, seems like they had another one. I'm forgetting the name. I want to say HBO Plus, but only because they say Plus on everything. But their HBO Go service, you definitely had to have a cable subscription, and that's how you authorized yourself to use it. It was very cumbersome, too. If you were outside of your broadcast area, you weren't able to use it. So it was really like if you wanted to watch HBO TV on your tablet in your house, then you could use it. Later, I think they loosened that up so that you had an account that was associated with it. But it wasn't your HBO account. It was your cable account. It would have you go to your cable account, sign in with your cable account, and it would know that you're authorized to use HBO Go. So HBO Max is the first time that HBO has been offered like a Netflix or a Disney Plus.
So we have Shaw is our cable provider, and we have Shaw Go Wi-Fi. And they have hotspots all over the cities and all over the place, and I can download the Shaw Go TV networks and different things, and I can watch TV on the go, but it's only things, the networks that I've subscribed to on my cable subscription. It probably would be something like that, but we also have AT&T, and it seems to me that our AT&T cell phones, they told us that we had access to, and maybe it was HBO Max. I'll have to look into that. But the AT&T connection might be something. Oh, the Shaw Wi-Fi, as soon as we leave Alberta, it gets sketchy. And as soon as we leave Canada, it's gone totally. So, you know, it's a cable company that's only broadcasts in Canada.
Right. Yeah, I think that the way the HBO Go started out in the United States, you could literally not use it unless you were getting your internet and your cable subscription from the same provider and you were in your house watching it streaming.
Oh.
And then it grew.
This had to be in the area.
Then it grew so that if you're in the United States, you could use your cable account to authorize it, and then you could watch it from wherever you were.
And when we had our cable account active in Canada, and I was using a VPN, I was able to access my Canadian television through the VPN in Mexico.
Because you were behaving as though you were in Canada and you already had the cable subscription, and that would authorize that.
But then I started suspending the subscription because we were gone for 6 months. And so, you know, I think we won't be able to suspend our subscription anymore because we've got so many things hooked to the internet now. So.
Oh, and here's the other HBO name I was trying. HBO's been really confusing with streaming. HBO Go is the one I was just talking about. HBO Now is the other one. I never did figure out the difference between the two, except for that they reported to have horrible quality. And then HBO Max is their first time that it's not associated with a cable subscription. That's something to look forward to, because in our world, that just means those movies are going to be available quicker than we imagined.
Okay, Scott, just as a note, Bob Dylan just sold his entire song catalog for over $300 million.
Oh, wow.
To Universal.
Is it Universal he sold it to? But he sold, it's about 600 songs he sold, and they are estimating it's over $300 million he sold it for. The whole thing, everything.
Just has, now he has a pile of money to finish his life with.
I mean, he can write more songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't have to. He can lay on a beach in San Carlos.
I was going to say, $300 million. Come to San Carlos and a couple of generations can survive off that.
Oh, shit. Plus the money he already has.
Right.
The retired person in San Carlos that I wish I had seen was Burl Ives. He lived in San Carlos the last of his life.
Oh, that's interesting bit of trivia. I didn't realize that.
He used to perform for benefits and things like that.
Has anybody got any other topics? I've got a couple here. Oh, I did want to do, is Maggie still with us? She hopped on for a second, but now she's gone, I think.
Yeah, and so did Jim. Jim was there for a minute and he left.
I wonder what that's all about. I wanted to get an update on her browsing experience because of her iPhone update and how she was having problems getting back to her email. So I've got that on my list, but maybe I'll keep that for next week. Paul, I wanted to do a follow-up on the Ting stuff, the whole fire protection, wire electric. I got to tell you, that is a great deal that your insurance company's giving you. That is an expensive product.
It's like $350 a year.
Yeah, it's...
I think it's $350 for the first year and maybe $100 for every other year.
If you're interested in...
We have it for 3 years free.
It's for 1 year of Ting monitoring for $349. Includes the equipment. Maybe the next year is cheaper because you already have the equipment. I don't know. That seems like a great deal. If your insurance company is going to give you that for free, I'd definitely jump on it. It's just slightly too expensive to just casually get into it at that price, I think.
But, you know, the thing to do is to contact your insurance company and say, hey, you know what? State Farm is giving these people 3 years of service. Why don't you?
Yeah, contact your homeowner's insurance and check it out. If you're interested in looking at this product, I found it at tingfire.com. Whiskers Labs are the developers and have the service. But if you want to buy it outright, then you can go to tingfire.com, and they've got it there for $350. I've got it on my screen here. That was an incredible value to just have your insurance company hand over to you. They must know. They must be saving money in insurance claims.
Yeah. I'm sure they did a cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah. So definitely something to check out with your own homeowner's insurance, see if this thing's available. And you can get it on your own. It just seems very expensive. I'm suspecting that we're going to see some more products like this hitting the market, especially like that Wyze product line. It was Wyze that's making the $20 smartphone that has a 9-day battery. I just remembered. It's Wyze that's entering the smartwatch market.
Well, I don't think Yolanda at Hambone will support it.
But... No. Probably
Scott,
not.
How do you spell the? How do you spell Wise?
It's W Y Z E. They do smart things compatible devices, and the big news is that they have announced a $20 smartwatch with 9-day battery life, heart rate, and blood oxygen saturation tracking. It's supposed to ship in February.
I have a Timex for about 35 years, and the crystal got so scratched I couldn't see through it anymore, and so dollars.
This kind of price point for this kind of offering, I think, is going to disrupt the market, especially because Wise is a respected developer and company. Wise has been doing smart devices, cameras, and they have a reputation for building serviceless devices where they're not dependent on a company out there in the cloud. And so they've got this reputation for security cameras that you don't need to pay a subscription fee to. Can I wait till February? That's the question.
Scott, that Fitbit does oxygen levels and things like that.
The one that I was just describing, this one from Wise, that's what they're saying. They're saying that this will have a heart rate and blood oxygen saturation tracking in it.
Well, I 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I moved into what I have been waiting for. For 50 years, I've been a diabetic, and I've done my blood sugar testing and everything with poking my finger. And they've always, they've always promised us that there would be a time when I didn't need to poke my finger to test my blood. And I now have it. I have an app, and I couldn't put it on my iPhone because my iPhone is too old for it. But I have an app on my phone that reads this little scanner that's on my arm. So I put this on a week ago Wednesday, so 2 weeks it lasts for, and all I have to do is take my phone, once I turn it on.
So are you saying that you can shower with that thing on, or do you have to take it off?
It stays there. It's a little computerized thing in a flat wafer kind of thing, and then it's got a needle. And the needle gets poked into, it's got an applicator that it comes with, and it gets poked into the skin, so the fatty layer under the skin, little needle. So the needle sits there, and it's got its own technology, and then it sends me, and then the app can give me all kinds of reports. It can tell me when I've gone high, when I've gone low, what's happening.
Well, that's cool. You're reminding me of this whole group of people that are hacking their insulin pumps. And in combination with something like that, they would be able to administer insulin on demand at what and forgive me, my information in this is a few years old, but at the time I was reading about it, they and it was a personal hacking group. I mean, there was no medical authority to do this. It's just a bunch of diabetics that wanted to have a better experience in their computer hackers. And they started building these devices that they would monitor their, like you've got the automatic pump that'll pump it out every so often timely. And they were modifying that to watch their levels and determine what were better levels. And so it had its own kind of fuzzy logic where they put together a program where it would administer insulin before a meal if that was what was most appropriate for your body. And it would administer it in different sized doses throughout the day depending on what, I mean, after tracking time and levels would prove to keep you, I guess I'm not diabetic, not, I hope I won't be, but I don't have any experience with diabetes. But from what I heard was that the thing is that you're going through these waves where where you're up and down, and the idea is to get it to a flat, steady experience. And so yeah. by monitoring in real time and allowing your pump to give you micro doses and higher doses at odd hours instead of the specific regimen of dosages, they were getting closer to that flat line.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's much more sophisticated now than when I was reading about it.
They do have artificial pancreases. They have different things, but this is a Libre sensor that if I had a pump, it could communicate with it. But I don't have a pump right now, so yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. What's up, Bill?
I was reading an article last week about an insulin that they're developing that is of the same sort. It's a regulating insulin that it responds to sugar levels and will release more insulin or less insulin depending on your blood's sugars, which is a hell of a step forward if it starts working.
So what you're describing is a substance you put inside you, and it decides how much of a dose you need?
Yeah, that's essentially what it was talking about.
That's pretty wild.
Cheryl, have you got the link I sent you?
It's still on my Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe we can find it and send it to you. You can post it.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's an amazing concept to wrap your head around. This idea, like, yeah, you get 10 cc's, and then that 10 cc's of whatever it is, interacts with your current blood sugar levels and decides how much or how little insulin you really need. That's a wild. Am I understanding the concept correctly?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah, you see, a non-diabetic, once you eat food, your pancreas puts out the amount of insulin for that amount of food. So yeah, that wave that you talked of happens in a normal body, but your body, if it's able to, will control it and make it stay. If it doesn't, if you become diabetic, what that means is that you're not controlling that, and you'll go very, very high or you'll go very low, which is really hard on organs. It's hard on brain. It's hard on everything. So it's always been a balance of how much do I need, when do I need it. Interesting life.
That is cool. Yeah, send me the link. I'd love to read about it, and I'll put it on our page as well.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, so this technology is really helping. Like, I used to poke my fingers to do blood tests, and every poke, it hurt.
I didn't understand. Does it poke you periodically, or do you stay poked the whole time it's in your arm?
It is attached to the skin with one needle that is in the middle of it that is into my skin. So I have a needle embedded into my underneath the skin on my arm. And I can shower, I can wash, I can go swimming, whatever.
All right, Cheryl, you know what you are now is you're a body hacker. You are augmented with Cybertronics.
You're no, since 2013, I've had somebody else's islets making insulin in my body. I've been cyborg forever.
Cheryl, did you say that you have to change it every 2 weeks?
Yes, the sensor in this thing goes every 2 weeks. So I was going to talk about the price of it. My blood testing machine is this little machine, and like my first one I had was the size of a brick, and I traveled to Australia with it, and you had to wash off the water, the blood after you put it on, and wait 30 seconds, and then it took 40 seconds. It was like a 5-minute process to do your blood sugar. So I thought that the new ones that take 10 seconds every poke to give me a reading were amazing. Now this thing, I can scan multiple times in those 14 days. So I've averaged about 10 or 12 a day. And the cost of these things are about $100 a sensor. So $100 every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
To sense your blood. The strips that I was using are about $100 for 100 strips. So I could only get 100 tests for my $100. This one, I can get multiple, like I can get unlimited number of tests.
Yeah.
And more accurate information.
You're saying this, and I'm wondering if this is a small price to pay for cheeseburgers and milkshakes. Right? Because when you're bound by only 100 tests, maybe you don't want to take that risk as often. But when you can check it in a moment's notice, maybe a cheeseburger sounds good today.
It's more beers and wine.
Beers and wine, yeah, that's the big one. For me, it'd be cheeseburgers and chocolate shakes.
Well, it's anything. It's everything. You know?
A slice of white bread.
Right, yeah. Well, please, send
that's
me...
That's almost pure sugar.
Right, it is. All those carbohydrates are just like sugar.
Yeah. Anyways, you...
That's pretty cool. I mean, that's changing the quality of life that you have, being able to do it with your phone there. You know, just off the top of my head, this is not on my list, but did you guys see they're talking about the vaccination certificates that will be digitalized? And I mean, they've already showed examples of these things, and then what's looking like the future we're going into is one where you want to go to a restaurant, you may have to pull out your phone and show that you're green for having had your vaccination or had COVID at some particular time. But basically, the government health department has classified that you're safe, using a green or you're not, with a red, and that's what would allow you into the restaurant or across the border or into the movie theater there. I'm sorry. Oh, so I was just this morning, and I wasn't ready to talk about it, but your diabetes sensor with your phone and how it changes the quality of your life made me remember watching this thing on the news this morning. I think it was on NBC last night, the NBC's Nightly Report. I think that's where I was watching it. And they were showing off these apps, and they're talking about this vaccination certification that they're moving forward with. And we are really, over the next year, we're going to start looking like the movie Contagion. I mean, we're going to have the digital version of bands to show where we're at, whether we've been infected, whether we've been cleared and safe to be around, whether we've bothered to go get a vaccination. All that's going to become public knowledge and affect our movements. It's very weird. It's strange to think about.
I wonder if they're going to implant something under our skin so we can get scanned.
Gosh, Fred, I wonder if we're going to ask them to do it because of the inconvenience of having to pull it up on our phone every time we want to go somewhere. I mean, I hear where you're going, but I think we could easily go right past that to, oh, please give me a chip. This is such a pain to keep updating this information. I got to make sure my phone's got the app on it. I forgot my password. I can't get into the app. All I want to do is get a burger and see a movie. And we'll usher in the chip. We'll be like, oh, gosh, yeah, that's so much easier.
They've been chipping animals for a long time.
The chip is really like your username to your identity. And the chip is what makes it easier for them to have to ask you for ID. Right now they're talking about it with the phone, but I'm sure we will move to a chip as soon as the phone is inconvenient. We'll be looking, well, you could use the chip, you know. Same scanner.
No, thank you.
It is weird. Hi, Judy. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm back from Wymas.
All right. How'd it go? Everything?
No.
No problems?
No. Diana's address on her Permanente is not the same address on her phone bill.
Oh, my gosh.
So yeah, so you just got her work cut out for it.
Yeah, I wonder, is that a Telmex problem? Do you go to Telmex and say I've moved?
I don't know. I see they said on my Telmex bill that I live in Lomas Del Mar in the village over here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so that's on all of my identification from down here.
Yeah, that's, I'm just thinking as far as organizations go, which is the easier approach, trying to get your Permanente changed to the address on your phone bill, or trying to get Telmex to change your address to your Permanente address?
Diana lost her Permanente and they're having to get a new one. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to, I think you're lucky to have Yuya working on it, because I don't think I would want to approach either of those problems.
Me either.
Well, you've showed up just in time for a follow-up. I wanted to know what was going on with your navigation from email. You remember you were leaving your email from a link in EA, and it would take you to a web page. This is you, right?
No, it was Maggie.
No.
Oh, it was Maggie. I'm sorry. You're right. It is Maggie. I even said that earlier today. Damn it. Well, Judy.
I sent the link in the chat, Scott.
Oh, thank you. Let me make sure I get that up. If you guys are interested in any of these links that we've been sharing with each other in the chat, you'll want to pull them up before we're done with the meeting. Because
just click on them, and then another screen opened for me with the video. So I've got it on another, page. I can look at it later. And you could do the same with this. This is newatlas.com is the article.
Yes.
And I just click on it. It opens in another window, and then you can come back to the meeting and then watch it later or look at it later.
It's exactly what I would recommend. I'm looking at, if you're looking at my screen, you're seeing our meeting, and up here in the upper right-hand corner is this dialogue box that is chat with everyone. And if you click on that, it brings up this side list of these links that Cheryl and Paul have shared with us. And then if you click on any of those, you don't leave the meeting, but you open up a separate window that has that link in it, and then you can return to the window that has the meeting in it and let that sit and come back to it later. And I will take these links. I'll put them on today's meeting. Yes.
The only thing I see is the S3C logo. I don't see anything else on you.
I think you might be looking at...
Judy has to change her view. Remember we did that last time? What are you on, Judy? An iPad?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not up in the top corner. It's right beside where your picture is. I find it like a little grid layout.
Yeah, I see everybody else, but for Scott, I only see his logo, the San Carlos Computer Club.
Yeah, you don't.
That's weird. I think everybody else can see me. Is that right?
Yeah.
You see a nod of heads out there somewhere. Everybody can see me. Paul, can you see me okay? Paul, are you still in this meeting?
I can see you now, but I can't see you on the
side. Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you.
Okay.
Who?
Yeah. What do you
see? And here,
chat room, Judy. We were talking about the chat room. Can you see it? It looks like a piece of paper with lines on it.
No.
Yeah, I bet it looks. I bet the chat room looks different on the iPad. I would bet it's down at the bottom of the screen. If you want to bring up the chat,
I can't bring Google Meet on my iPad is too old.
Hey.
No, I don't see any of that.
Not
on my little three dot.
I know why I was thinking of you, Judy, because you weren't with us last week, and Maggie had this issue, and we wanted to check to see if you had the same issue.
Which is?
Let me lay out the scenario.
Okay.
You get an email message that has links in them. You click on the link, and it opens up your browser.
Exactly.
You're done reading it and you want to go back to your email. There used to be a back button that would take you back to the email message. And Maggie's reporting that it's gone since iOS 14.
Well, it's not gone off my iPad. It's still here. It says there's. It's up at the top, and it says mail. But let me go to my phone. Hold on.
That's why I was thinking of Judy.
I thought it was when like she got an email from her real estate office. Yep. She went to the real estate link, and she could only see the one. She wanted to move within that browser.
Well, no, she wanted to move back to her email and click the next link in the email.
So I thought she said that she had to go back to the email.
No.
Because she couldn't move.
No, the problem was that to get back to her email, she had to go back to the home screen. She had to close her browser, go back to the home screen, open her email, open that email, that specific message again.
Well, my first question is, why is she clicking on a link in her email?
That's what I said.
My very first question, because I don't do that, so
pick
something I know is safe that I can click on that link.
Yeah, you could click on the Computer Club announcement. I will vouch for it. They're good people.
Okay. Oh, I click on links all the time of things that people have sent me.
Well, you know,
my phone. I don't know. Can you?
I don't know.
Can you see this?
Whatever you're holding it up to is not a camera.
Move over to where you're going.
The other direction. Other
we can
direction.
Still see your face.
There you are. Nose. Okay.
Yeah.
Now down a little bit.
Okay. Wait.
And out a little bit. No, we can't see anything. That's not working at all. Hold it in front of your face. There we go. Now get up close to the camera. Okay. Now tap yourself on the head and there you go, and rub your stomach.
See, right up there at the very top, though, it says mail with an arrow.
Okay.
Oh.
Yep.
Then you click on that mail with an arrow, and it takes me right back to
your email program.
Yes.
To your inbox.
Awesome. Now,
It took me back to the email that I clicked on the link in.
So that's exactly the experience that Maggie is expecting. And after the update, she doesn't have it any longer.
Yes, she does, because I did the update and I have it.
So here's my next question. We had some question about what browser. Are you using the Safari browser?
Yes.
So I'm suspecting that actually exists. It existed for Maggie before, because you were forced to use the Safari browser. You couldn't set a default browser.
Actually, I am not using Safari when I click on the San Carlos Computer Club thing. I think it's going right into
Chrome.
Yeah,
Edge.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Well, I think it's significant that it's other than Safari. If you're going into Edge or Chrome and you're having that experience, then there's something weird going on with Maggie, because she is not having that experience. Oh, that on your phone. I wonder what model phone. She has a 6 and a 7.
And I have a 10.
And you have a 10. And hold your phone up just one more time. The 10 has, I don't know if you can see, but it's got a drop down for a camera, and then it's got areas of the screen to the left and to the right of the camera that can be filled. Is that where the back mail button is? It's up in that corner right between the corner and the camera?
It's right up here where the time is, I think. Hold on, let me go back there.
I wonder if that's related to her problem, because her phone does not have that same screen layout.
It's right here.
Yeah. Well, that's good to see, because
arrow says mail.
Hopefully that'll help us sort out at least an alternative. Because I think what's happened is they've laid out the screen differently because of the 10, the 11, and the 12, and she's using the same operating system, but it's on an iPhone 7, which has that flat forehead. It doesn't have the drop down.
Right. Hey, so you were saying that I can set my default browser now on my phone?
Yeah, since iOS 14 or 13, you should be able to do that.
Huh. I don't know. Because I really, truly do not like Safari. So, huh, I'll have to look it up and find out how to change that.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't looked too much into it because, again, I don't have a latest Apple device. So, and nobody's asked me to try and figure it out and handed me their phone to do it with.
And I just type in, how do I change my default browser on my iPhone in iOS 14?
Oh, okay, here's Cheryl with her iPhone. Do you have iOS 14 on yours, Cheryl?
I have 13.5.1. I was waiting for you guys to tell me that it was okay to do 14, but I haven't done it.
Well, Judy's had a good experience with it, and Maggie hasn't. What model phone do you have, Cheryl?
6S.
Oh, that does make it a good question, especially because those are the phones that Maggie's having an issue with. I'm going to put a note here. iPhone 6S upgrade to iOS 14.
Where do the upgrades come? What does it tell you?
It should be in your settings. You should see a red flag when you go into settings. If you're offered
but I've
an upgrade.
Been on the bottle. Gosh, I can't even find settings. I'm in settings. But
right,
it's down something.
Yeah, somewhere around software, there should be a red flag right at the top of settings, like right underneath your account.
Cheryl's iPhone. I think I have to go into that.
Mine is under, what's it under? Not notifications. Not under my name. Where is it? Is it under general? It's under general for me.
Oh, so not under the very top. Under general, there you go. And it's called software update.
Does it have a red dot next to it?
It's checking for updates.
Okay. I was just looking for a list of compatible devices for the iOS 14 update.
iOS 14 updates the core experience 14.2.
All right. So your phone is compatible with it. I bet it goes back as far as the iPhone 6S.
Wait, I read that a little bit. This update cannot be installed because it requires at least 3.39 gigabyte of available storage during installation.
Oh, and you don't have that much storage space in your phone.
I don't have that. If you need more space on iOS, anyways. Back to the storage issue.
Yeah.
And
but that's cool. Those are some old phones to get new software.
I'm not doing backups. I'm not doing anything because the storage is toast and I need to do something about that. I've had to do something about that for, 6 months now? And I still haven't.
Well, you know, you could have iCloud leave or do storage for your photos. If you've got iCloud space, you could have it do storage management for you where it's pulling pictures off of your phone to free up storage space, leaving them in the cloud but taking them off your phone.
But I don't have any room left in the cloud.
All right, well, there you go. That's how they get to pay $1 a month or $10 a month.
$2.99 for me.
$2.99
because I ran out of my 99 cent storage, so I just upped it with all the troubles. But
yeah, and you see, we need to figure out what we're doing because we're doing family sharing and all that kind of stuff. And I think we're going to go for a terabyte of something somewhere. But is it Google Photos or is it Amazon? I don't know.
Hey, guys, I've enjoyed this conversation with you. We've had some really interesting topics today. I really appreciate all your contributions. But I've got this bad habit of just running way too long with these meetings. And I have got to shut it down and get on with the rest of life.
I still can't see your picture. All I see is the S3C logo.
I don't know what to tell you. I think everybody's seeing me.
I know, but me.
Well, no, Judy, you've got something pushed. You've pinned something because I see the S3C down below Scott's picture and all of us off to his right.
And see, now I don't see you actually live. I only see you as your logo.
You know, that's...
I see Paul live, I see Fred live, and that, I see me live.
That almost sounds like you're bandwidth constrained. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago where Meet is really making this determination of whether you have enough bandwidth and judging appropriately. Like it'll blur the picture down to low quality all the way down to no picture at all, just an icon. Now, that being said, Judy, you're coming through great. You look beautiful on the screen.
Thank you.
So it's hard to imagine. It's a bandwidth issue. Are you on X-Pro right now? See you, Bill. What I've been noticing with X-Pro over the last week or 2 weeks is really lousy upload speed. And I don't know if that's related to it or not. Your face just disappeared. Now you're just a J.
I know. I'm just running a speed test here.
See you, Paul. See you, Fred. Thanks for being with us today. I can't wait to see you guys next week. Mom, thanks for being here. Okay.
Don't hang up.
Yeah, I'm curious what upload speeds you're getting because we've been getting just lousy upload speeds over the last... And I was worried about this meeting not working.
Download is 25.6.
Yeah, that's reasonable. What about upload?
It's at 41.94, 43.
Oh, wow. You
see when it comes out.
You got a lot more upload than I do.
42.9.
Oh, that's really strange. Yeah, I'm getting uploads of 8.5.
Wow.
I've got downloads. I'm looking over here at another computer, and I did a speed test earlier when we started, and the results are still there. And I have a download of 76 and an upload of 8, which is bizarre, because the whole time I've been using X-Pro, I've had more or less the same for both.
So it's something with you. One of the people here, you know, Carla, right?
Yeah.
Her antenna got turned around backwards in the wind. So
right.
she had all the lights on and everything, but she had no internet.
I actually have not physically mounted my antenna. And so in the winds, occasionally it falls down. But we're so close to the repeating antenna that it takes like some things acting goofy for me to realize that I need to go back up on the roof and angle it correctly. It's become a procedure now when I should really just get a pole and mount it.
Right. Okie dokie.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
So I don't know when it'll be, but... You know, if I'm there, if I'm here, I'm here.
Bye. All right, Judy. We'll see you next week. See you, Cheryl. See you, Mom.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye. How's Dad doing?
Oh, he's doing good. He had to run off to Costco today.
Oh, of course.
Well, yeah. So that's where he is. I just wanted to say this series I told you about, Better Than Us.
Yes.
They have some kind of chip in the arms of the actors. Of course, I'm sure it's overlaid, you know, by filming.
Sure.
But it really gives you some ideas of how chips could be beneficial if you had it, you know, on you, because you don't have to carry a phone or anything. You don't have to carry maps or any of that stuff.
That's right. Yeah. And that's really how it's was it Fred's comment? Is I really feel like we're going to ask for the chips at some point. They're going to... Before we go back 10 years, people are scared of this whole idea being chipped and being controlled. People had lots of conspiracy theories. They still do about the chips. But I think we're going to get ourselves into a point with technology and our society where we're going to look at that as such a benefit that we're going to be asking to have chips put in us, because it's easier than carrying a wallet around. It's easier than... I mean, all these things, because it's a digital identification. So yeah, they're going to be able to, every time you walk through a department store, you're going to be known by name to their sensors. And at the same time, you're not going to mind that because it's easier to deal. And this virus thing might just bring around that whole change in thinking.
Yeah. It just might. I'm sure the chips are about ready to go if they can put them in animals. So
yeah, yeah. It's really more sensors and databases than it is chips. The chip technology has been around for a long time.
Yeah. Also, trusting leaders, trusting. You have to have faith in the people that might be reading it.
What a great point. You know, that's been my dilemma all along. I believe in open information. I believe I don't have a lot of secrets. I think that there's a lot of people out there keeping secrets, that we should be able to have that information. But the problem is that we have governments that have used secrets to control people. And so we don't feel comfortable with governments or businesses. In fact, what a debate that is. Which are you more concerned about? Are you more concerned about Google having your personal information or the government having your personal information? Which one makes you more nervous?
About the same.
Because we've watched bad behavior from both types of groups.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Mom, I got to let you go. Right. I love you. Thanks love for being you. Here.
Yeah.
If I don't see you again before next week, I hope to see you next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye-bye. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. And if you're looking for help out there on the internet, I would appreciate you getting a hold of me. Contact me at scott@internationalcs.net or let me help you remotely. Remote@internationalcs.net. Until next week, tech on.